Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
White Sox fans, this is your Sox Machine White Sox wake-up call for Thursday, May 26th, 2022. I'm Josh Nelson. After an embarrassing 16-3 loss on Tuesday night, Lucas Giolito was trying to avoid the disaster his teammate Dylan Cease fell into by getting boat raced early against the Boston Red Sox. Opposing Giolito on the mound was crafty lefty Rich Hill. So at least on paper, the advantage leaned to the White Sox way. But after the first 42 games of 2022, we have learned not to be too optimistic. In the first inning, Boston struck first as Giolito struggled to find the strike zone. After J.D. Martinez singled and Xander Bogaerts walked, Alex Verdugo hit a duck snort single to left field to plate Martinez. Giolito was able to limit the damage to just one run. In the second inning, the Red Sox had two base runners on, but Giolito struck out Enrique Hernandez and Rafael Devers hit a deep drive to center field, but Adam Engel was there to make the catch on the warning track. In the third inning, the Red Sox had two base runners on again, but with nobody out. Giolito on the first pitch to Verdugo got him to fly out to left field, facing the hottest hitter on the planet, Trevor Story. Giolito was the benefactor of a nifty defensive play by Yoan Moncada to turn the 5-3 double play as he fielded Story's grounder down the third baseline just in time before it fell into foul territory. In the fourth inning, the Red Sox had two base runners on again, but all Rafael Devers could muster was a high infield pop-up as Giolito avoided giving up any runs. It wasn't until the fifth inning when Giolito finally went 1-2-3, getting a ground out and back-to-back strikeouts. With his pitch count getting close to the century mark, Giolito grinded out another inning by going 1-2-3 in the sixth. It's not a pretty final line for Lucas Giolito, but he finished the night throwing 101 pitches to cover six innings, allowed five hits, just one earned run, walked four, and struck out seven. Giolito's season ERA drops to 2.63. Meanwhile, Rich Hill had the White Sox hitters confused, getting batters to strike out looking on 88-mile-per-hour fastballs, and nobody could time his mid-70s curveball. In the first four innings, Reese McGuire was the only White Sox batter to reach against Hill as he drew a walk. A no-hitter was in the works going into the fifth inning. Now, during this time, I'm pedaling on my Peloton bike, playing a little game to see how many miles I could rack up before the White Sox score a run. Usually, I like to think it'd be like 5 miles before the White Sox score. Not last night. I was already at 20-plus miles entering the fifth inning. Jose Abreu led it off with a double down the right field line to break up the no-hitter, which was Abreu's 10th two-bagger of the season. Then A.J. Pollock hit a grounder to third base, which is disappointing because it wasn't going to move Abreu up 90 feet into scoring position. But Devers didn't make a good throw to first base. It pulled Franchy Cordero off the bag, and Pollock reached on an error. With runners on first and second with nobody out, it was Jake Berger's turn. Hill got ahead 0-2, but decided to drop down in his throwing motion to flip a slider against Berger. It's a crafty veteran move, but the young Berger was not fooled. He smashed Hill's slider for a three-run homer that traveled 444 feet. That was Jake Berger's third home run of the season and gave the White Sox a 3-1 lead. Boston put more pressure on the White Sox in the seventh inning. Aaron Bummer started the bullpen bridge, getting to Liam Hendricks, first facing Jackie Bradley Jr. and Enrique Hernandez, and he got both of them out. But Rafael Devers singled to center field to bring the game-tying run to the plate, which was J.D. Martinez. Manager Tony La Russa opted to go to Kendall Graveman out of the bullpen to face Martinez, which is the correct call. Graveman did not pitch well. If you remember, his last appearance, he gave up a game-tying home run to Aaron Judge this past weekend. Graveman gave up a single to Martinez and then walked Xander Bogaerts on four pitches. Suddenly, the bases were loaded. Now it was Alex Verdugo's turn to bat, and this time, Bennett Souza was hustling to warm up in the bullpen, but he wasn't ready to go, so it was up to Graveman. Graveman settled down and got Verdugo to ground out to Josh Harrison at second base, ending the threat. Bottom half of the inning, the White Sox had a two-out rally with the bottom of the order. Reese McGuire and Josh Harrison hit back-to-back singles, setting the table for Tim Anderson. But the White Sox shortstop had a rare off night as he grounded out to third base and was held hitless. Joe Kelly took the ball in the eighth inning and was looking sharp, striking out the first two batters he faced, even pulling a timing trick a la Johnny Cueto by doing several mini squats before throwing the final pitch. But after that second strikeout, Kelly let out a very loud F-bomb, caught by TV mics, and was pulled out of the game, nursing his left hamstring. He had to be replaced by Liam Hendricks, who was attempting a four-out save. He ended the eighth inning thanks to a nicely fielded grounder by Tim Anderson, who made the spinning throwout. In the ninth inning, Hendricks fell behind 3-0 to Bradley Jr., but battled back with two well-placed fastballs and benefited from another great defensive play by Yoan Moncada to stab Bradley Jr.'s hard-hit grounder, make a good enough throw towards first base, but it pulled Jose Abreu slightly off the bag. But Abreu applied the tag on Bradley Jr. before he reached first base on the throw. Hendricks proceeded to walk Enrique Hernandez on four straight pitches. So eight pitches in the ninth inning, and Hendricks threw six balls to bring the game-tying run to home plate. First batter was Rafael Devers, and Hendricks finally found some command in the strike zone and blew a 99-mile-per-hour fastball by Devers for the big strikeout. Now with two outs and having to face the red-hot J.D. Martinez, Hendricks started the at-bat with a slider for a swinging strike. Martinez worked the count to 2-2 after laying off a similar slider and made Hendricks work to a full count. On a good slider from Hendricks that just dropped slightly out of the zone, Martinez watched it go by for a ball, drawing the walk. Now the go-ahead run was batting in Xander Bogaerts. On an inside fastball, Bogaerts got jammed and hit a fly ball that was drifting to right field. Andrew Vaughn was making his way to complete the catch and ending the game, but for some reason, Josh Harrison was still chasing that pop-up and bumped into Vaughn. Good news, Vaughn made the catch, ending the game and securing the White Sox victory. Have no idea why Josh Harrison was all the way out in right field and running into Andrew Vaughn, but alas, the White Sox won 3-1. Liam Hendricks picks up his 10th save of the season. Jose Abreu had another good night at the plate, going 1-for-2 with that double and drawing two walks. Andrew Vaughn was 1-for-4. Reese McGuire was 1-for-2 with the walk, and he's being more productive offensively in the last couple of games. The White Sox are now 22-21 on the season.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Tonight at 7:10 p.m. Central Time, we'll conclude the season series between the Sox teams. On the mound for the White Sox will be Dallas Keuchel, After strong starts against the Red Sox and Yankees at home, Keuchel gave up a grand slam to DJ LeMahieu early in his last start at the Bronx to get chased out of that game, and his job status with the White Sox is in jeopardy. Lance Lynn will be making his rehab starts in Charlotte starting this weekend. He says that he needs 3 starts to ramp up, or 15 days. That puts Lynn on pace to join the White Sox around June 12th, which would be a Sunday start against his old team, the Texas Rangers. Tony La Russa was asked about having a 6-man rotation when Lynn returns, and La Russa made it clear he would not entertain the notion of a 6-man rotation. With how well Johnny Cueto has been throwing, Keuchel is now pitching for his job with the White Sox in the next 2 weeks. Xander Bogaerts has the best success against Keuchel, as he's hitting .357 in his career with 1 homer and 3 RBIs. For the Red Sox, it will be Michael Wacha on the mound, who is sporting a season ERA of just 1.76, as he's 3-0 on the season. However, the White Sox do have some hitters with previous success against Wacha. Jose Abreu's 3-for-9 with 2 RBIs, AJ Pollock is 5-for-11 with a home run and 5 RBIs, and Yoan Moncada is 3-for-6 with a homer and 4 RBIs against Wacha. Hopefully those 3 are in the lineup tonight and continue to produce at that level against Wacha. You can watch the game on NBC Sports Chicago or listen on the radio at ESPN 1000 AM. Down on the farm, the Charlotte Knights had a tough loss at Durham, losing 1-0. The Bulls scored the game's only run in the second inning, which was a solo home run, as the Knights had 6 hits and 3 walks but couldn't find a way to score. Yobert Sanchez, who played shortstop for the first time at AAA, went 2-for-4. Adam Haseley also went 2-for-4 with 2 stolen bases. Danny Mendick and Blake Rutherford picked up the other base hits. Jimmy Lambert made his return to the Knights rotation, only pitching 2 innings, but racked up 4 strikeouts, allowing 2 hits, with one of them being that home run. The Knights are now 16-28. The Birmingham Barons allowed 6 runs in the first inning, but they scored 4 in the top of the 5th inning to make it interesting, but couldn't complete the comeback, losing 7-5 to the Chattanooga Lookouts. Sean Burke was the pitcher roughed up early, only lasting 2/3 of an inning, allowing 2 hits, 6 runs. Only 1 of those 6 runs was earned, walking 3 and striking out 1. Jose Rodriguez hit a triple and drove in 3 runs. Lenin Sosa went 1-for-4 with 2 RBIs. The Barons are 15-26. Winston-Salem Dash were up 3-1 against the Hickory Crawdads entering the 9th inning and blew the game wide open, scoring 6 runs on their way to a 9-2 victory. Duke Ellis hit his 4th home run of the season. Oscar Colas was 0-for-5 but had an RBI. Adam Hackenberg was 3-for-5. Brian Ramos went 1-for-5. And Luis Meneses was 2-for-5. The Dash are 20-21 on the season. The Kannapolis Cannonballers did not have a good night. They were blown out by the Carolina Mudcats 13-0. The Cannonballers only mustered 4 hits on the day, with DJ Gladney picking up 2 of those hits. Around Major League Baseball, the Detroit Tigers did a big favor for the White Sox. Down 2-0 to the Minnesota Twins, the Tigers rallied back to tie the game in the 8th inning, scored 2 runs in the top of the 10th inning to win 4-2. That win snapped the Minnesota Twins' 6-game winning streak. The Houston Astros won a pitcher's duel over the Cleveland Guardians 2-1. The Guardians fall to 18-22 on the season, so there's a gap between them and the White Sox for second place. Atlanta Braves are inching their way back to .500, beating the Philadelphia Phillies 8-4. The Baltimore Orioles continue to play the New York Yankees tough, but the Bronx Bombers did enough to win 2-0. The Tampa Bay Rays scored 5 runs in the first inning, and that's all they needed, as they hold off the Miami Marlins in the Battle of Florida, winning 5-4. The Milwaukee Brewers win a tight one in San Diego, scoring 2 runs in the 7th inning to win 2-1. The Oakland A's are now ahead of the Seattle Mariners in the American League West standings, beating them 4-2. The Mariners were my pick to win the West, but they are 18-27 to start 2022. Come on, Seattle! The Washington Nationals blanked the Los Angeles Dodgers 1-0. The New York Mets, for the first time in 2022, lose back-to-back games, as Jock Peterson, Evan Liguria power the Giants to a 9-3 victory. That will do it for today's White Sox Wake Up Call. Later tonight, we'll be streaming Sox Machine live on our YouTube page at youtube.com/Sox Machine. If you just discovered Sox Machine or have been a longtime lurker, help support us on patreon.com/Sox Machine. Our Patreon supporters receive exclusive content, ad-free versions of the podcast and website, first opportunity to receive our Sox Machine swag. Monthly plans start at just $2 a month, and you can save with an annual subscription. Again, the website is patreon.com/Sox Machine. Subscribe to the Sox Machine podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at Sox Machine, and follow me on Twitter at @SoxMachine_Josh. Thanks for listening to the White Sox Wake Up Call. Have a wonderful Thursday. For SoxMachine.com, I'm Josh Nelson.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.